Today's Shir is Masech Bava Kama Daf Yud Ches. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom, by Rava. Rava poses the following question. We have a situation where an animal, Darsa Al Kli, an animal trampled on top of a vessel, V'loi Shavrasa, but it did not break the vessel at that point. However, in the Skalgal, because the animal had trampled on top of this vessel, it rolled, the Makamacher, it rolled to a different area, different space, the Nishbar, and it broke over there, Mahu. What would be the halacha? Basa Makar is Linen. So as we've been learning, there are two very different types of damages. There's damages which we've learned over and over again, is that where of regal, and regal you pay nezek shalom. And do we say that since this damage that was caused here originated because he stepped on that keli, so it's considered gufehi, it's considered regal. Adama, do we say basa tavra mona azlina? We look at how it broke, and the way it broke was because it rolled away. So it wasn't directly at the space where the damage took place. And therefore, that would be considered a situation of tzroiris, which we know that tzroiris, as we've been learning, at least according to the Rabbanan, the opinion of the Rabbanan is that for tzroiris, you only pay chetzi nezek. Says the Gemara, Tivshala, perhaps we could answer this question with the Rabba, from what Rabba taught us. Dama Rabba, Zorah Kelim Rosh Agag. If somebody threw a vessel down from the roof, now somebody else came and broke that vessel, b'makel, with a stick, before it reached the ground. Potter, the halacha is that you potter. The milin lay because the halacha looks at it, manatavir tavar. What you broke was something already broken, because before it ever reached the floor, it was already going to be broken. And you can't be held responsible for something that's going to break anyway. So what do we see from here? We look at from the beginning. From the beginning, as soon as you threw down this vessel, you shall be held responsible, even though nothing happened until it actually hit the ground and fell. Says the Gemara, the Rabba, indeed, there would be no question. La Rabba Pshitalei, according to Rabba, it's obvious that he looks at the initial act. But says the Gemara, La Rava Meboile, Rava is not quite certain how to look at this situation. So our Gemara introduced a new concept. The concept of Mana Tavir Tavar. Something is already broken. What would be the halacha, says the Rosh, that if somebody shoots an arrow at a vessel, and the arrow is going to hit that vessel, but before the arrow actually hits the vessel, somebody else breaks the vessel before the arrow hits it. What will be the halacha? Do we say, so Rosh says, as soon as the first person shot the arrow, the halacha views that vessel as a broken vessel. Tosfos disagrees. And he says, in the case of the arrow, the person who breaks it is going to be held responsible, even though it's going to be broken by the arrow. Says Tosfos, the difference between the Gemara's case of breaking a vessel that you threw down versus a vessel that's stationary and you throw an arrow at it. Tosfos doesn't actually point out the difference, but that's what Tosfos says is the halacha. So the Mechaitcher Eloi explains that a vessel mid-air is considered already broken. And because when a vessel is mid-air, it can't serve any purpose. And therefore, since it can't serve any purpose, it has no longer any use. And therefore, says Rava, it's already considered broken. If somebody will break it, he didn't break something of significance. In a case where the vessel is here sitting, and yes, it's going to be smashed because the arrow hits it. But until the arrow actually hits it, it's a perfectly good vessel. since until the arrow actually hits it, the halach is that it's not considered that you broke a broken vessel. That's so the Mechayit She'ilu, he says, it depends, is there any use of this vessel or not? Others want to say, which I think is very similar, the Knesset Gedolah seems to say this, he says the difference is, when I throw a vessel down and it's going to hit the floor, it's certainly going to break. Since when I throw it down, it's certainly going to break when it hits the floor, it's considered that I broke the vessel. Whereas, says the Knesset Gedolah, when the vessel is stationary, yes, there's an arrow quickly approaching this vessel, but until the arrow actually touches the vessel, there's always a chance that it's not going to be broken. And since there's always a chance that the vessel will not be broken, the halacha is it's not, the halacha does not look at it as a broken vessel. The Rakachover uses this concept that our Gemara is teaching us to explain a pasuk in the Megillah. The pasuk in the Megillah says that Haman, after being summoned by Achashverosh and told to escort Mordechai, the pasuk says Haman came home avel v'chafui rosh, and the Gemara explains avel, he came home avel al bitoy, that his daughter, after she saw that she threw the garbage at her father, committed suicide. V'chafui rosh, that he was the one that had to escort Mordechai, his arch enemy. So the Ragachover asks that shouldn't the pasuk said the other way around? First, Chafui Rosh, and the Gemara says because she threw the garbage at him, and she only died afterwards. So why does the pasuk say Ovo v'chafui rosh? Says the Ragachover, according to the Taisus that we just learned, to make sense. If I throw something itself, if I throw the vessel itself, or says the Gemara, or said Taisus, if I throw something at the vessel. So says the Ragachover, after Haman's daughter threw the garbage on her father's head, she already jumped down. As soon as she did that and realized what she did, she jumped from the roof. As soon as she jumped off the roof, even though she hadn't hit the ground, she's already considered dead. So that's why the Avelus on her father came first. But the water didn't actually hit Haman, who was like the vessel here, until later. And therefore, even though she technically died afterwards, she was considered dead earlier, and that's why the pasuk speaks about the Avel al-Bitoy v'chafui rosh second. Our Gemara has indicated that sometimes you do something, but it's not really considered that you did something wrong, because as our Gemara keeps on indicating, mana tavira tavar, you broke something which is already broken. And there are many different situations where the halacha has very interesting ramifications based on this concept. The Chashukei Chemed mentions a number of situations. One situation, he says, where there was a girl who was somebody mentioned a shidduch to this girl, a boy, and the boy's mother called the girl's teacher. She called the girl's teacher to ask her about this girl that somebody had mentioned for her son. She mentions this boy, and the teacher says that this girl, honesty, is not her strong point. And then she realizes that maybe what she did was inappropriate. She spoke Lashon Hara about this girl. While she's considering, did she speak Lashon Hara, and did she have, and how does she correct the damage that she did, a couple of days later she gets a call from this girl's mother or whatever, the boy's mother, to tell her, Baruch Hashem, this boy and girl are engaged. So she asks, she was very surprised, in a way very happy, because she thought that she had ruined the shidduch, but she actually didn't ruin the shidduch. And she even asked the boy's mother
I didn't give you such great information. Why did you do the shidduch? She says, the reality is that my family, this girl, this boy's mother says, we're very involved in all sorts of business dealings. And because we're so involved in all sorts of business dealings, as much as we try to be honest in our business dealings, sometimes it's difficult. And if there's a girl who comes from a background that doesn't know how to react to such a situation, may not work in our family. When you told me that this girl is not strong in honesty, it became evident to me that this is perfect for our family. Another issue, another question that he speaks up, is a case where somebody stole a car. And then he drove the car and he left it somewhere out of, not where it was parked, obviously. And then it turned out that there was a bomb in that car. And by having stolen and taken the car to such a place, he did everybody a huge favor. We can't even think about the tremendous damage would have been done if the car would have been left where it was. Or there was somebody who had something in a store that the storekeeper wasn't supposed to have that item in the store. He brought it in illegally. And somebody walked into the store and broke that item. And a moment after he broke the item, inspectors came to see if this storekeeper is holding something illegal. And it turns out that he didn't hold anything illegal because this person broke it. So now the question is, can the storekeeper say to him, you broke something of mine, and since you broke something of mine, you should be held responsible? So what do you mean I broke something you used? I didn't do any damage. I did you a huge favor. Why should I be held responsible? So regarding the question of the shidduch, the halacha is that since the teacher meant the best with giving the information, and at the end of the day, actually by having given this information, she did a tremendous favor to this family, so she has nothing to feel bad. However, when we speak about the car, or we speak about the broken, or breaking this thing in the store that shouldn't have been in the store, when we think about that situation, it's very similar to the Tosfos that we just mentioned. There's a difference if at the moment of the hezek, was it a hezek or not? So at the moment that I broke, the moment the person stole the car, or the moment that he took, the moment that he stole the car, or the moment that he broke the vessel, even though it turned out to be fantastic what he did, that doesn't justify what he did. You now have to steal somebody's car. And therefore, even though it turned out to be a taiva, or even though it turned out that this person was able to be saved from the authorities by what he did, he had no right to do what he did. And therefore, in those cases, he will be chayiv for what he did. He'll be chayiv the financial obligation that he has, even though it turned out to be a tremendous favor. So now, we now have begun the shiur with a shayla. When we look at damages, do we look at the initial moment that the damage was done? Or do we look at what happens later at the initial moment or when the damage actually occurs? And according to Rabbah, we clearly see that his opinion is we look at the initial moment. But the Gemara's question now is, what will Rava hold? Toshma, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following brisa. Says the Gemara, Hidus, if a chicken broke something by jumping on it, ain't a mu'ud. The chicken doesn't become a mu'ud, and therefore he never will have to pay nezek shalom. So the Gemara tries to understand what does this brisa mean. Hidus salkadatach, how would we say that if an animal if a chicken jumped on a keli, which is very much the way chickens behave, why should the owner of that chicken not be held responsible? Elalaf, how must we understand the case?
the hidus v'hitus, that he jumped, the chicken jumped on something, and because of that, the vessel on which he jumped rolled away, and it broke further away. And the Gemara is suggesting that the machloikis that we just learned in the Braisa is exactly the question that we just posed, and there's a machloikis, what will be the halacha? The mass of a basam akrinas linen. The Yesh Oimrim says that this is considered a normal way of doing hezek. It's not considered troiris and yechayiv, as in all cases of regal. Or masover, basatov and manaz linen. And the first opinion says that we look at when it broke. And it didn't break at the initial moment when the chicken jumped on it. And since it didn't break at the initial moment when the chicken broke on it, jumped on it, it's going to be troiris, says the Marloi. It has nothing to do with our question. The question here is, Betis Troiris, this Gemara, the Braisa is speaking about a classical example of Troiris, says the Gemara. And what the issue at hand, says the Gemara, is actually the Machloikis that we had in the Mishnah, Plukta the Sumchus Rabbanan Kamilfki. Rabbanan say that this is Troiris, and the opinion of the Rabbanan is that by all Troiris, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And Sumchus' opinion is that it's Troiris, but Sumchus' opinion is that by all Troiris, you pay Nozak Shalim, says the Gemara Toshma from a different raya. The Braisa speaks about a case of Tanagoyim Shari Mechatin Bechevel. Chickens were poking away at a rope, Bechevel Dali, with a rope that's attached to a vessel, Vinifsa Kahevel, and then the rope snapped, Vinishbraha Dali, and the vessel broke. The loch is Meshalim Nezak Shalim, you pay Nezak Shalim. It didn't break immediately. The chicken poked at the vessel, and only after the chicken poked at the vessel, that's when it broke. So what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, isn't this a raya? That mishalm nazik shalom, shmami nabas mikaraz linen. We look at the original situation. At the original situation is when the rope was poked. Even though it only caused something to happen later, that doesn't make a difference. But we're responsible because that we look at the initial moment. Says Mara, no. The case that Bryce is speaking about the damages for the Hevel. Will the owner of the chicken be responsible for that rope? Says the Gemara, for Hevel Mashunahi. Chickens don't normally poke at ropes. And since chickens don't normally poke at ropes, when a chicken does poke a rope, it's going to be considered keren. And we know that whenever we speak about something which is unusual, it falls into the category of keren. And keren, you always pay chatzi nezek. So why would he pay nezek shalim? Answers the Gemara, the mas belisha. It's talking about a rope that had on a dough. And since it had on a dough, that's already quite usual for a chicken to poke at that rope. And since it's common for poking at the rope, that's why he'll be held responsible. Says the Marva Nishba Talikhtani. But didn't the Braisa focus on the vessel, not on the rope? Says the Gemara, this Braisa is Simchasi. We can't bring a raya from this Braisa to the question that we are discussing in our Shia today. Because we're going to explain, says the Gemara, that this price represents the opinion of Sumchus. You're going to be responsible here for the vessel that broke. And even though we don't say Basimi Kara, we look at when it happened later on, still the Gemara is teaching us that we're following the opinion of Sumchus, that will be considered a situation of Troiris, but Simcha says, by Troiris you pay Nezek Shalim. Ask the Gemara if you want to explain that this is the opinion of Simchas, let's continue learning that Braisa. The name is Seifa. The Braisa says, Netel Memenu Shever, if part of the a vessel that broke, a part of it flew away, V'nofla Kli Acher, and it falls onto another Keli, V'shover, and it breaks it, Al Rishim Mishalim Nezek Shalim. For the first vessel that was broken, you pay Nezek Shalim. The Achron Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Because it didn't get damaged directly from the animal. It only got damaged from a shard of the first vessel that flew on to the next vessel. Ask the Gemara, but if we're saying that this brisa represents the opinion of Sumchis, says, ask the Gemara, if we're going to say they represent Sumchis, Misle Chatzin Nezek, if this is a case of Troiris, Sumchis' opinion is that by Troiris, you pay always Nezek Shalim. V'chitem, so the Gemara, I'll tell you why that's not a question. Because even though Tzumchis does not subscribe to the concept that Tzroiris pays Nezek Shalim, Chatzin Nezek, when is that? That's only, suggests the Gemara, by the first Koyach, by the first Shah, the first indirect action. But when it's already the second generation, Mishani Leila Simchis, Simchis differentiates by Nezek Koychoi, Lekoyach Koychoi. And even though by Koychoi, Simchis says that Yechayiv Nezek Shalim, and that is no dispensation by Troiris, he will agree that by Koyach Koychoi, the Loch is you pay Chatzin Nezek. And that why would we make this distinction? So I saw that the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Sefer HaGilyon that says that there's a special halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that speaks about Troiris. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is that Sumchis is not disagreeing that there is such a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But Sumchis is saying as follows. If we think about Troiris, says Sumchis, the reason you're chayy by Troiris because we apply the concept of koichoi kegufoi, that anything that emanates from you is considered like you did it. So since the halacha views it as if you actually did it, that's why Simcha says, I can't accept that you shouldn't be chayiv. Koichoi kegufoi, it should be no difference if you did it directly or you did it through koichoi. And therefore, Simcha doesn't subscribe to this concept of chatzin nezek troiris. But even though Simcha is not willing to accept this concept, as we just explained, that koichoi should be treated any different than gufoi, Sumchis is willing to accept the concept that koyach koichoi should not be treated like koichoi. And since Sumchis is ready to accept that koyach koichoi should not be treated like koichoi, so maybe what the Gemara is saying is that the Gemara is saying it's not that Sumchis is disagreeing with the concept of the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, that this is not your regular case of masik, and therefore you should have to pay, that this is your regular case of masik, and you pay nezek shalim. What Tzumchus is saying is that I can't accept that koichoi is considered different than gufoi, but I can accept that koich koichoi should be treated differently. Ella says the Gemara, and that's why this case is a case of koich koichoi, and that's why this brisa could follow even the opinion of Sumchis that pays chatzin nezek. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, El Hod boy Ravashi, we're going to have the Ravashi asks a question on Daf Yotes. Koich koichoi le Sumchis. How does Sumchis treat koich koichoi? Ke koichoi damei lav ke koichoi damei. We should now have an answer, tifshalei, that's clear that Sumchis differentiates between koichoi and koich koichoi. And that by koichoi, Sumchis says you pay nezek shalom, by koich koichoi you don't, says the Gemara. El alav, we're back to having no option but to explain that this price is representing the opinion of the Rabbanan. And Shema Mino, we look at the original act, and the original act Shema Mino, Basami Karn is Linen, and therefore the Chum say that this is a case that you pay Nezek Shalim, because the original act was an act of a Mazik. Says the Gemara, it's not a compelling proof. Because Amar Abibi Babaya, the Ozal Mino Amina, the Bryce is not speaking about where the chickens poked away at the rope until the vessel that was tied to it fell and broke. It's speaking about a case that after the chickens poked at the rope and the rope and the scaly got disconnected, then the chickens kept on pushing the scaly until it ultimately broke. So even though if we look at the moment of the breaking of the scaly, at the moment of breaking of the scaly, what caused the scaly to break? The chickens pushing it.
And therefore, since it's all because the chickens are pushing it, that's a regular case of regal or shame. It's certainly not a case of troirus and has nothing to do with our discussion. It's a direct damage, which everybody will agree you'll pay nezek shalem. By Rava. So now ask the Gemara a new question. We're learning, according to the Rabbanan, that by chatzi nezek troirus, by troirus you pay chatzi nezek. So now the Gemara's question is megufa mishalem or meli mishalem. As we've learned, the classical example of chatzi nezek is when a tam does keren. That's the classical example. And halacha, as we learned, and will in Mitzvah Shem learn again and again, is in that situation you pay they pay migufoy. It's capped. The damages are capped at the value of the animal that did the damage. So now the question is, we're learning that batzroiris you also pay chatzi nezek. Does that halacha apply as well? And the simplest way of learning this Gemara is, what is the Gemara's question? How do we look at the din that you pay by a tam chatzi nezek, migufoy? Is that a halacha in chatzi nezek? That whenever you're paying chatzi nezek, wherever the halacha tells us to pay chatzi nezek, there's another rule that travels along with it. The rule that travels along with it is that you pay that chatzi nezek migufoy. So since over here you're paying chatzi nezek, the halacha is you have to pay it from gufoy. Or is the chatzi nezek attached to the concept that the damage of keren, as we keep on repeating, is meshuna, is not usual? And therefore, maybe what the halacha is telling us is only what when you did is unusual, then and only then will the halacha be that you pay megufoy. But tsroiris is not unusual. And therefore, since tsroiris are not unusual, you'll pay min aliyah, even though you're paying chatzi nezek. Mitgufa mishalem, d'le mishka chatzi nezek de mishalem aliyah. There's never a precedent that chatzi nezek pays from the aliyah. That's one way of looking at this. That you don't have a case where you're paying, where the nezek was normal, that you're capped at gufay. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us hiddus. If a chicken broke a vessel because it jumped on the vessel, ain't a mu'ud. It doesn't ever become a mu'ud, and it will never be chayiv. That means if jumping caused the vessel to break, it'll never become a mu'ud. V'yesha mehareza mu'ud, says the Gemara. Hiddus akadetach. So right away, this is a question. A chicken jumping on a vessel is your case of regal. And since that's considered a case of regal, why should you not be chayiv nezek shalim? Elalav, what must be the case of this braisa? A case of hittus v'hittus, that the chicken jumped on it and something flew and that caused the breaking of the kalim. What is the machloikus? The mandama ena mukasov megufim shalim. You're always going to pay chatzi nezek. It's always going to be treated like a tam, and you always pay chatzi nezek. Because troiris pays chatzi nezek, and chatzi nezek always comes megufay. Or man dama mu'ud says maliyah mishalim. Says the Gemara, loy. That's not the way to necessarily explain that Gemara, but rather the way to explain that braisa, the machlokes, is the machlokes of Simchas Rabbanan Kamafki. The man dama that says you pay chatzi nezek holds like the Rabbanan, and by chatzi nezek there's never a concept of mu'ud, and Simchas says you pay nezek shalim. Tashma, so that braisa is not compelling. Tashma, the Mishnah we're going to learn, Daf Chof Aleph on the base, talks about a case of a kelev shenatal charora. A dog took a biscuit that was being baked on top of coals, and he took the biscuit together with the coals. V'holach l'gadosh, and he went to the place where there's straw, grain, all stacked together, v'achal charora, and that's where he chose to eat this biscuit, and because he had the coal attached to it, v'edlek sagadosh, this entire grain went on fire. So the halach is, al charora mishalem nezek sholem, on the biscuit that he ate, he has to pay nezek sholem. V'agadosh mishalem chatzi nezek, but on the grain, he's only going to pay chatzi nezek.
My tama. What does he only pay chatzin nezek? La mishum davalei tsrayrus. Because it wasn't directly from what he did. It was all indirect. He took the coal and he put it somewhere else and that caused damage. Betanalei. And the Bryce then continues to say, mishalim chatzin nezek. Migufa, you pay chatzin nezek of tsroiris, and it's only migufay. So isn't this a raya that when tsroiris, you pay chatzin nezek, you pay it from always migufay? Says the Gemara of Tisbara. Is that the way to understand this? We understand that Rabbi Lezer, who disagrees and says that you chayiv to pay even for the grain, nezek sholim. Now, if you pay Nezek Sholem, there's never a concept that you're limited to Megufoy, you're capped with the value of the animal that did the damage. Nezek Sholem, Megufoy, Me'ashkechon, even though Rabbi Lezer never said you pay that Megufoy, the Gemara is assuming that the Braisa says you pay Megufoy, that, and the Braisa didn't say that that's only the Tanakama's opinion. It seems that even Rabbi Lezer, who's disagreeing with the Tanakama, will say you only pay it Megufoy. So, very difficult price to understand. Even if you pay Nezek Sholem, why do you pay Megufoy? It must be that because it's considered a case of Tsroiris, so even though Rabbi Lezer is concurring with Sumchis, and that by Tsroiris you pay Nezek Sholem, he will agree that Tsroiris pays Megufoy. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason you're paying the kind of Shana Bahaba Gechelis. He did it in an unusual way. And that's why the Tanakama holds that you only pay Chatzi Nezek. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that this discussion and this Braisa has nothing to do with Tsroiris. The discussion in this Braisa is related to Keren. And the Tanakama holds that it's Keren. And by Keren, there's no discussion. There's nothing to talk about. Keren, you always pay Chatzi Nezek Megufay. What does Rabbi Lezer hold? Rabbi Lezer holds, like Rav Tarfin, that we're going to learn, we've already quoted Rav Tarfin's opinion, Dama Meshuna Keren Bechotzer Anizik, that even though Keren normally pays, Tam Keren pays Chatzi Nezik, but if the damage took place in the property of the Nizik, there Rav Tarfin says you pay Nezik Sholim. And therefore, in this case, you're paying Nezek Sholem even though it's Keren, because it was in the Chatzar HaNezek, says the Gemara, and therefore it has nothing to do with the question of Tsroiris, and we can't use this Braisa to tell us anything about the Halacha of Tsroiris. Says the Gemara, V'lohi. We don't have to explain the Machlokes this way. My time of Mukhs like Rav Tarfin, what pushed you to say there are Belozer holds like Rav Tarfin? Mishum Nezek Sholem, because if it's Keren, why would you pay Nezek Sholem? Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Lezer Sumchus Chas Amit Tsroiris Nezek Mishalim, that he's going to say that this is not a case of Keren, it's a case of Tsroiris, but he held a different concept. And this is a concept that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Mem Hei on the base, that Rabbi Yehuda introduces the concept of Tzad Tamus Ben Kaim Medes. In other words, when an animal has to pay Nezek Sholem, how do we look at the Nezek Sholem? Do we say he pays Chatzi Nezek? And Chatzi Nezek always is Megufoy. And the second part is the Nezek, that's where you pay Menaliyah. Says the Gemara, therefore, when he said here, that when the Braisa here says that you pay Megufoy, it's on the first half of the damage, which is where Tzad, Tana Megufoy, Tzad Thomas, on that price. So, it has nothing to do with our discussion. Amalei of Samarei Rav Isha Lervina, Eim the Shamalei Rav Yehuda, when did Rav Yehuda tell us this halacha of Tzad Tamus B'mkayim HaMedes? When you have an animal that's doing Keren, and we're learning that the first three times it does Keren, it pays Chatzi Nezek. Says Rav Yehuda that even if it did the damage more than three times, did this type of damage more than three times. And because it did this type of damage more than three times, it becomes a mu'ud. The halacha tells us that the first half of payment remains with the halacha of tam, the megufa mishalim. But tam, benasa mu'ud. But in a case where the damage that's being done is the type of damage, amud mitchilasai, tsroiris, according to sumchas, or regal and shein, according to everybody. The Rabbi Yehuda suggests that you're going to pay on the first 50% only migufai. And if that's the case, we don't understand, that can't be an explanation of the Braisa. Elakikam Rabbi Lazar, why did Rabbi Lazar say that you pay Nezek Shalem? You go in the yard. So the Gemara now introduces a whole new concept. And that is that Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim are going to agree that this case that we're discussing here is a case of Troirus. But it's not the first, second, or third time that the animal has done this, where it brought a biscuit with coals and put it on top of the grain. So it's an indirect damage because he brought the biscuit and the coal that burnt the grain is only Troirus. The question, everybody agrees it's Troirus. The Machlaikas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim is a whole different discussion. So, Rabbi Lazar's opinion is Yesh Adol Tzroiris, or Masov, and the Rabbanan's opinion is Ein Adol Tzroiris. That is, if an animal did Tzroiris more than three times. So just like we find by a Tam, that if it did Keren more than three times, it becomes a Muad, and you have to pay Nezek Shalem. The same question will come up if an animal did Tzroiris more than three times. What will be the halacha? Will the halacha say that now it's a muad? And even though the rabbanon say that normally you pay chatzi nezek, you normally pay chatzi nezek betroiris, not when it did it already more than three times. That's Rabbi Lazar's opinion. And the rabbanon say, no, there's a special chiddush in the Torah that for troiris you always pay chatzi nezek, no matter how many times it happened. And that's why Rabbi Lazar says you pay Nezek Shalem. If that's the case, then the Rabbanan understand that you pay the Chatzi Nezek Migufa Behema, because you always pay Tzroiris. We have a Raya that this is a case of Tzroiris. And since the Braisa says you paid Migufai, it's Raya that Tzroiris are paid Migufai, says the Gemara. So now what we have accomplished is, number one, we have a pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa, the Machlokes, the Chum and Rabbi Lazar, is about the concept, can there be a muad for Troiris? And the Braisa is also teaching us, and this there's no Machlokes, that by Troiris you always pay Megufai, which was our original question. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, Rava asked a different question. How do by Rava Yesh Adol Troiris or Ein Adol Troiris? Is there a concept that you could become a muad to Troiris? Ila Rabbanan, what's his question? It's Machlokes Rabbi Lazar and Rabbanan. Ila Rabbanan, Ein Adol Troiris. Vila Rabbi Lazar, Yesh Adol Troiris. The answer is quite simple. It's a Machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Lazar. And as I saw, Tosfos explains, if it's such an obvious braisa with a Machlokes of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbanan, then Rava would not have asked the question. Amalach Rava. So Rava says, my question, if Hadol or Troiris, is a Libid Rabbanan, the Pligid of Sumchus. It was going, according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Troiris. And now we have a question, as we mentioned before, how to view that. Avol Hochob, in the case that we're talking about here, with the biscuit and the coal and the grain, Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rabbanan, Sumchus Svirlei, they hold like Sumchus. Dama Tzroiris Nezek Shalom Shalom. As we keep on repeating, Sumchus' opinion is that Tzroiris pays Nezek Shalom. So why over here did the Rabbanan say you pay Chatzi Nezek? Says the Maram, Tavamai Am Rabbanan Chatzi Nezek. Why do they pay only Chatzi Nezek? The Shani V'loy Yad. The Tzroiris were not done in the normal fashion. And since the Tzroiris were not done in the normal fashion, that's why the Rabbanan hold that just like when an animal does Keren, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. Because everybody agrees, when an animal does Keren, you only pay Chatzi Nezek because it's Mishon, it's not usual. Here too, this is considered unusual. And that's why the halacha, even though sumchas normally will say that by tsroiris you pay nezik sholem, over here I hold you pay chatzin nezik. We pluck the reptar for rabbanan kamufki, and this is the machloikis that we have with Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says that Karen Brishus on Nezik pays Nezik Sholem, and therefore, even though it's Mishunah, and that's going to be the opinion of Elazar, and the Rabbanan hold that a Tam, which is Karen, which is Mishunah, always pays Chatzi Nezik. So here too, even though it's Sroiris, and it's Sroiris according to Simchas, that pays Nezik Sholem, since here it's unusual, you only pay chatzi nezik. Says the Gemara, the Rav Tarfon discussion asked the Gemara, Amen the Shamalai Rav Tarfon, where did Rav Tarfon say is a locha that you pay nezik sholem? That's Megufa Meshamalai. Rav Tarfon has nothing to do with that locha of Gufa. Says the Gemara, in. Yes, Rav Tarfon is going to be have to say that locha that way. Because Mehechim Maisalai, where does Rav Tarfon say, why and where, from where does Rav Tarfon come to say that when it's in the Rishus HaNozik, you pay, Karen Tam pays Nezik Sholem? Because he learns it, Mikarem Rishus HaRabim. He learns back in Rishus HaRabim, he pays Chatzin Nezik. Says the Gemara, Dai Lovim Menedin, Lias Kanidin. So if he's learning it from Karen Rishus HaRabim, and Karen Rishus HaRabim, Mishunah, you pay Migufoy, says Rav Tarfon, here too I'll learn that way as well. But ask the Gemara, because when I learn something, when I learn a Kal V'Chomer from a subject, the Talmud has to have the same halachas as the Rebbe. But ask the Gemara, for Rav Tarfon less like Dayoy. If Rav Tarfon is going to subscribe to the concept of Dayoy, ask the Gemara, then we have a much more fundamental problem. What is the fundamental problem we have? Because the problem we have is that if we're learning Karen Brishus HaNizik, from Karen Brishus HaRabim, so just like Brishus HaRabim, you pay Chatzin Nezik, so then Brishus HaNizik, you should also pay Chatzin Nezik. But Rav Tarfon says that Karen Brishus HaNizik, you pay Nezik Sholem. Answers the Gemara, it's not that Rav Tarfon doesn't agree with Dayoy. Ki Lesle Dayoy, when does Rav Tarfon not subscribe to the concept of Dayoy? Heich the Mifra Kal V'Chomer, if the Kal V'Chomer is refuted. So there, he'd rather have the Kal V'Chomer and not have the Kal V'Chomer refuted. But if we could have the Kal V'Chomer and the basic halacha will remain Islay Dayoy. And therefore he says that Karen ben Nizik, Karen Brishus HaNizik pays Nezik Sholem. I don't want to limit it to the halacha of Rishus Rabbah, you pay Chatzin Nezik, but I will agree that you pay Megufay. Gufa, so now the Gemara goes back to the question that we've spoken about. Yesh adol tzroiris or ein adol tzroiris? Is there a concept that an animal could be have tzroiris and become a mu'ud to tzroiris? And obviously then the halacha would be you would pay nezik sholem. And what is the question? L'kerem adaminalei. Do we compare it to Karen? So just like Karen pays chatzi nezik, and Karen pays chatzi nezik only the first three times, tzroiris will also pay chatzi nezik only the first three times. Oidilma told the regel he. And since it's considered like regel, and therefore, there's no concept of mood by regel. Mood is only a concept by Karen. Toshma, hidus. If a chicken broke a keli by jumping on it, ain't a mood. V'yesha is a mood. So the Gemara asked the question, hidus akadatach. If an animal jumped on a, if a chicken jumped on a keli, that is real regel. So what's the question? Ella, hidus v'hetus. It jumped and it caused something to fly. And my love, and what is the subject of this brisa suggest the Gemara? Kigoyin da ovet losa zimni. It happened three times. Obal kamefki. And that's going to be the machloikus. Marsov, the Yesh Amr's opinion is that if it happened more than three times, Yesh Ador, and even though it's Roiris, now you will pay Nezik Sholem. Well, Marsov in the Tanakam holds, ain't Ador. Says the Gemara loy. It happened only once. And what is the machlokes here? The machlokes will pluck the simchas rabbanan kamefgi if you pay nezik sholem or you pay chatzi nezik when an animal when by tzroiris. Toshma. So Gemara gives a different brisa. Behemish atila glolam lisa. An animal dropped waste into a dough. Rav Yehuda b'mishalem nezik sholem. Rav Elazar b'chatzi nezik.
my love. And again, the Gemara wants to suggest he's going to have a tlasa zimni. This happened three times. Or welcome if in the machlokes is the mass of Rabbi Yehuda holds hador, and therefore since it happened more than three times, you pay nezik shalim. Or mass of ein hador, and throyrus you always pay chatzi nezik. Says the Gemara, we don't have to explain it that way. We could say it happened the first time. Says the Gemara, and the machlokes here is sumchas rabbanon kamefugi that the Rabbi Yehuda that says you pay Nezik Shalom concurs with Sumchis, that for Tzroiris you pay Nezik Shalom, and the Rebbe Lazar holds like the Rabbanan, that for Tzroiris you pay Chatzin Nezik. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that's Machloikis? An animal that does this is unusual. And since it's unusual, even Sumchis should agree that you pay Chatzin Nezik. Answers the Gemara, the Dochak Lei Alma. It's speaking about where the animal had to relieve itself and it had nowhere to go and it's standing on top of the dough, so it's not Mishunah. V'leim Rabbi Yehuda, so if that's the case, that the Machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar is the Machlokes of Simchas and Rabbanon, so shouldn't they have expressed themselves that way? V'leim Rabbi Yehuda Alok Simchas, let Rabbi Yehuda say, I agree with Simchas, that it's Tzroiris, and by Tzroiris you pay Nezik Shalim. The Lamer Rabbi Lazar says, Alok Rabbanon, that I agree with the Rabbanon, by Tzroiris you pay Chatzin Nezik. Answers the Gemara, there's another Chiddush here, Glolim Tzrichlei. The Chiddush here was when it relieved itself. Since the waste comes out of the animal's body, and therefore it should be considered directly as if the animal's body did it. And if it will be considered as the animal's body did it, that isn't Tzroiris, because Tzroiris is always Koichai, not Gufoi. Maybe since the waste comes out of the animal's body, it should be considered Gufoi Dami, and it shouldn't be considered a case of Tzroiris. Kamash Malon, that's what the Bryce is coming to teach us, the Nudin, that this too is still considered a case of Tzroiris. And now we have the Machloikis of Sumchis and the Rabbanon. What do we do by Tzroiris?